Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship. And send a special welcome to anyone who may be visiting today. And I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship right next door in the church kitchen. The note on the back page of the bulletin, the calendar for this week. And especially want to point out the upcoming events. There is one more to add to that upcoming list. This Thursday, March 30th at 7 o'clock at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, there will be the Refugee Immigration Ministry will be having their 10th annual international concert. And there are several different groups that will be performing that Thursday evening. And it is a benefit concert for them. And Marilyn, do you know, tickets are $20, students are free. Do you know if there will be tickets at the door?
Probably.
There will probably be tickets at the door. It is also a website that you can purchase ahead of time. There is a flyer out on the in the bulletin board, and I do have information here as well. Okay. Well, I had one with me, so we'll make sure that this goes back on the bulletin. I was looking for the holes, and I wasn't seeing any holes. That's why I thought it wasn't it. Anyways, we'll get this back on the bulletin board so that if you are interested, it's in the international concert to benefit the Refugee Immigration Ministry. That is this coming Thursday at 7. And you will note the other upcoming events that I'm not going to read to you, but we'll just call your attention to that are in the bulletin. There are some inserts in the bulletin as well today, and the pink insert is for Easter flowers. If you'd like to have a plant in memory or in honor of a loved one for Easter Sunday, you need to fill that out and submit that with payment. And also on the reverse side of the litany is some more information about our America for Christ offering, which is one of our four American Baptist mission offerings that we receive during the year, and we'll be participating in the litany later in the service. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 715 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from both the Old and New Testaments as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. So let us read responsively from God's holy word. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts.
You were once darkness, but now you are light of the Lord.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God.
That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness.
You are the light of the world.
A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl.
Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house.
In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Our opening hymn this morning is Trust and Obey, number 437. We'll be singing verses 1 through 3. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
We are wise.
pray together. O God, in whom we trust and in whom we seek to obey, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts so that we may experience you in new ways. Shine your light into the recesses of our lives, exposing to us that which holds us back from living abundant, free, and joyful lives of discipleship. Give to us your word of truth, justice, mercy, and forgiveness that we need to receive in order to be lifelines of hope to a world floundering in fear and despair. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and now pray as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our
daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. This morning earlier I mentioned that we are continuing to receive the America for Christ offering, which supports mission work here in the United States and Puerto Rico. We watched a video last week that highlighted one ministry that we might not have thought about as far as reaching out to individuals and communities that just seemed to not have anything going for them, but they were able to connect with a community center and turn their life around. And that's part of one of the things that we're able to do. This also, from this offering, each region, which the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts is one of, receives funding for their mission work and their ministry work. Camps sometimes receive money, curriculum. There are many ways, but any kind of work that the American Baptists do within this country in Puerto Rico. So I'd like you to turn the insert over to the litany side as we are going to be engaged in reading this litany together. So please read the people part as I will read the leader. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and we will proclaim good news today.
We raise our voices today. Unified in the mission challenge, cultivating leaders, equip disciples, and heal our communities. Anoint us afresh, Holy Spirit, to unite in this mission and our communities, cities, and states. Move us outside the walls of our church.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and we will live out good news today.
Help us to see and embrace the diversity of our common humanity. Able to open an understanding of various cultures, traditions, and languages, overcoming our differences and affirming God's call and inclusion. Help us not shine us by the face of racial, ethnic, cultural violence.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and we will cultivate leaders who equip us to spread good news today.
Raise up leaders among us who walk the way of Jesus to show us the way to set captives free and provide liberty to the oppressed.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and we will advocate for the spread of good news today.
Open our eyes to the poverty and injustice around us.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and we will equip others to share good news today.
Grant us the power to respond to the needs of our community. Help us to cultivate strong advocates for peace, justice, racial equality, and freedom from all oppression.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We will join in mission to pray, speak, and work for release of the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and liberty for the oppressed. With God's help, together, we will make it happen. Amen. Continuing that spirit of being, having the Spirit being upon us, we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer this morning. And we want to continue to remember Mark and Dottie Foxen. I understand that they are now at their winter home in Florida, but are still having some health issues and concerns. So we want to keep both Mark and Dottie in prayer. And we want to keep Claire Stevens. I spoke to Claire last night and saw a new doctor this week, and we'll be getting some treatment that rather than surgery, and feels quite hopeful for this treatment that she'll be undergoing. And so we want to keep Claire in prayer as well. We want to keep Paul Patrick. Paul continues to be at home as far as I know. May Upperman is at home. We want to keep Barbara Tolstrup in prayer. Funeral for her husband was yesterday, and she has some family commitments today. Children are still in town some, and they're celebrating a birthday of a great-grandchild this weekend. So it was a good time for her. So we want to, Barbara says, you know, she will be back, but we just want to keep Barbara in prayer today. And do you have any requests for prayer, any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family? If not, then let's go to God. Looking at something that I've mentioned or something that's on your heart, let's pray together. Changes in our life, we are so grateful that you are a constant there. As the seasons change and we seem to have a fickle beginning of spring where it's warm one day and cold the next, and rain and snow and sunshine are all mixed together, Lord, we just, as one physical example of change in our life, we are just grateful that we know that you are always there no matter what takes place in our lifetime, that you are always there for us, that you are on call 24/7, 365, that while others need rest, that you do not need that human requirement, that you are there to receive our prayers, that you are there to respond to us. And we thank you for that, oh God. As we come to prayer this day, oh Lord, we realize that some of us may have journeyed quite a ways to come here, and others may have walked a very short distance, but no matter how long our journey was, we felt called to be here together today, to be in worship. Lord, we just pray that this time together may make a difference in our lives, that we may be changed people having been together today. And Lord, we know that this congregation, this morning worshiping, is special because of each person that's here. If one person here that's here now was missing, then it would be a different congregation today. Lord, we just thank you for each person that has chosen to come today to worship together with us. And Lord, we do offer you all the praise and all the glory. As we do that, Lord, we know that we are not perfect people. We know that we have made mistakes. We have done things that are against your will. And Lord, we are truly sorry for those things. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins. Lord, we now lift up those that I've mentioned, others that we've mentioned in silence,
who are ill today or injured and need your special healing touch in their lives. We do pray for healing for those who are ill and injured, that it may be according to your will. We pray for those caregivers, oh God, both professional and those who are just loved ones, providing care for someone who is ill. And just pray that they may not experience burnout, that they may use the skills and the knowledge that they have, the training that they've received, but also, Lord, they will not become overburdened. And Lord, we just pray also for those who are in mourning today, that they may sense your spirit especially close to them in this time of need, this time of sorrow, that they may find joy again in their hearts. And Lord, we just also lift up our nation today, as there were protests across the nation yesterday in support and against our president. And Lord, we just pray that there may be some common ground found where decisions can be made that are benefit our country and our nation. And Lord, we also lift up our world today, and we know that there is danger both in and outside our nation. We know that there is terrorism, we know that there is violence, that we know that there are some nations that are fighting against each other within their own borders. Lord, we pray that there may be peace around the globe, a world that you created, a world that you filled with people created in your image. Lord, we pray that we may learn how to get along with each other between petty differences and monumental things that separate us. And we pray that we might be united. Lord, in the season of Lent, we also remember Christ going to the cross. We pray that we may be faithful in our discipleship as we draw closer and closer to Good Friday. We pray that we may understand and appreciate all that Jesus has done and is doing for us. And it's in his name that we lift all of these things to you now. Amen.
Amen.
We've worshiped in many different ways this morning. We have an opportunity now to worship by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks.
pray together. Lord, we do give thanks with heart and hands and voices and with these gifts. And Lord, we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. They too may come to know him. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And at this time, Irene Hoffman will be coming to read scripture.
Good morning. Scripture today is from the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. And for anything that is visible is light. Therefore it is said, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. We ask God to bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Thank you, Irene. Let's pray together. Lord, we have sung this morning and read and heard from your holy word about living in the light. Lord, we just pray that in these moments we may gain a greater understanding of your word that may help us in our daily living, that we may be people of the light, children of the light, that we may, if we feel that we are walking in darkness, we may come out of that. And if we know others who are in darkness, that we may shed light on their darkness, that they too may come to the light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Perhaps you've seen some of these signs. No MSG, no parabens, no sulfates, no phthalates. We may not know what these things are, but if we see these no items on our product, that they don't contain these things, market research says that we're more likely to say yes and purchase the product. For example, one nutritionist writes, "Would you eat your favorite breakfast cereal if you knew that it contained butylated, oh boy, here we go, hydroxytoluene, better known as BHT? You may have seen that. A product used in jet fuel and embalming fluid." Probably not, if we were wise consumers. So if the cereal box screams no BHT, marketers have a pretty good idea that we are more likely to buy that cereal than a competitor's. Even if we've never heard of BHT and have no clue how it is used and why it might be used in that product or why it might be harmful. In fact, it can be found in some of our foods, our cosmetics, our pharmaceuticals, as well as the jet fuel and the embalming fluid. Sodium is another one of those big no-nos for today's health reasons, but it can also be used to deodorize smelly tennis shoes, de-ice highways, kill weeds, whiten teeth, clean brass, clean the bottom of our irons, and get grease out of a carpet. So sodium in and of itself is not bad, just how and how much we use of it. Some of us may have wondered from time to time what actually is in our face cream or our toothpaste or our shampoo. Perhaps we've looked at the list of unpronounceable ingredients on the jar and wondered what each of those chemicals does and whether they actually really help. If we're like most people, we probably dump, rub, spritz, drizzle, or ingest a host of stuff every day without ever knowing what's in the products that we're using. We don't know what's bad for us unless somebody tells us. And these days, marketers are doing that with increasing frequency as a way of separating their products from the rest of the pack. Savvy and health-conscious consumers appreciate it, and they are more likely to buy a product for what's not in it than what is in it. When we check out the aisles in our stores, especially the grocery stores, we notice the trend of saying no list is a way of selling products that at least seem healthier for what they don't have in them. We may not know what parabens, sulfates, or phthalates are, for example, but when their absence is stamped in large letters on the package with the no attached to them, even the uninformed consumer often will breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that they think they're safer by purchasing that product. If we're told that the muffins we're looking at are gluten-free, we might be more likely to buy it, or not. Some people will only purchase products that say sugar-free, or fat-free, or you fill in the blank. It's not just the nasty chemicals that the no list tout. It's also things like aromas and scents and smells. For fragrances are occasionally a concern for allergy-sensitive people, but often the elimination of a scent requires a host of other chemicals to mask it. Marketers have taken up the cause by using the word free to describe a product as being free of scent-making agents. When it comes to selling a product to an increasingly informed public, it turns out that less may be definitely more. When we look at the verses preceding today's text that Irene read, we see that the Apostle Paul was marketing the benefits of life in Christ to the members of the Ephesian church, and his strategy was that of a skilled promoter. He begins with the yes stuff. He promotes the healthy benefits of being imitators of God and living in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Now, Christ was no scent-free Savior, however, because Paul describes him as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So having told the people of Ephesus the good ingredients, Paul then stamped out the no list of things that life in Christ does not include. And these are the things that takes all these fun things away. Sexual promiscuity. He says, no impurity, no greed, no obscenities. What's left? He writes these words, but fornication and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among the saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk. These are the unfruitful works of darkness that characterize the life they lived before coming to Christ. Nasty ingredients that contributed to spiritual sickness. Now, we want to look at these things that Paul itemized in those verses prior to the text that we've heard today. First is fornication and impurity describe a host of premarital, extramarital, and other immoral sex practices outside of marriage. The Greco-Roman world was sexually charged, and a host of sexual practices were accepted. Having a mistress was common among men, as was sex with male and female slaves, while women were forbidden from doing so. Cultic prostitution was still part of the Roman world, as was the common and regular practice of the oldest profession. Paving stones in the ruins of Ephesus itself reveal that they were sometimes used in advertising for the local brothels. Children could be sexually exploited, and babies that were the result of illicit sex or even undesired by married couples could be discarded and left to die. Our own culture accepts a host of sexual practices as well. Now they are on display every time we turn on a screen. It's difficult to avoid obscene, silly, and vulgar talk as well as the constant sexual imagery to which we are exposed. Sex and sexual talk now permeate nearly every aspect of life, from the halls of politics to the workplace water cooler to the schoolyard. Nevertheless, Paul urges the Ephesians and us to remember that such illicit practices and talk are now on the no list for the Christian life. So we go on to the next thing, is greed that Paul talks about and writes about. And that's on the no list as well. For Paul understood greed as a form of idolatry, where the worship of money and material possessions replaces worship of the God to whom all things belong and through whom every good gift is given. While sexual immorality is perhaps easier to identify as a harmful ingredient in the Christian life, greed may be less likely to be considered harmful. But imitating Christ means imitating his own generosity and honoring his wish that we share with those in need. I would suppose that each of us has one or more practices that tries to pull us away from our walk of faith. The particular temptation that we face is the one that suggests that just a little bit of this is not too bad. Even though it's on the no list, just a little bit won't hurt. And we surmise that it's not a matter of things being absolutely wrong. We believe that they are only wrong or harmful in terms of the dosage, the amount that we use. If we take too much of these no items, it could seriously ruin our spiritual health. But if we indulge in a small amount, we'll be okay. We like to rationalize our behaviors. But that's a subtle and corrupting lie. It's the lie of false advertising. It's the lie of darkness. While some physical things are lethal in large doses, but they may be beneficial in small doses, such as painkillers or sleeping aids. It doesn't work that way in our life of faith. When we compromise just a little on sexual promiscuity, when we're avarice and money hungry, when our mouths are full of potty talk, we're becoming sick. And not just sick by degrees. We are children of darkness, not children of light. Paul makes it clear that anyone who continues to practice the things on that no list will not have any inheritance in the things of Christ and of God, and will also be subject to the wrath of God. In fact, imitators of Christ should not even associate with those who are disobedient and continue to spiritually ingest these things that are harmful for their spiritual health. It's not that the followers of Christ are to retreat fully from the world. Not, you know, Paul's not calling us to be cloistered and just, you know, turn the world all out. But we need to live as children of light in the world, to be transformers of that world, so that we will be fruit, which is found that is good and true. Children of light should seek out only the ingredients of a life that is pleasing to the Lord, taking no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them instead to what they are, harmful ingredients that ultimately contribute to death. Now, government regulations on consumer products help us to know what's in the stuff that we buy. God is even more stringent when it comes to exposing the secret ingredients that people try to hide from God, from ourselves, and from others. When we become children of light, however, all those secret ingredients become visible and can be eliminated. It's a spiritual wake-up call that can bring us back from the brink of death and give us a new and healthier way of life. We can then walk in the world as wise consumers, understanding God's will for ultimate health and wholeness for all of God's people. Some people are phobic about chemicals in their products, and they may purchase or patronize different stores, perhaps a health food store or something that organic, that they feel is safer. They believe it's safer. The cost of the products may be higher than other stores, but this is a small price to pay for the sense of physical well-being. And often in such stores, there's a community of people who are looking out for one another and making recommendations of what's been beneficial for them. Paul lifts up life in Christ as a life that's basically a sin-free zone, or close to it. What makes the Christian life attractive, we may ask? Why would we want to buy into that? Why would we want to use this product known as the Christian life? Because an authentic and truly Christian life contains no sexual promiscuity, no impurity, no obscenities, no greed, no darkness. This kind of Christian living creates a safe zone for women, wives, and girls, for men, husbands, and boys as well. Christian living is healthy living in both a physical and a spiritual sense. This is the Christian life, and those who follow Jesus embrace this holistic and holy approach to life wholeheartedly. It's the kind of life that is free of the damaging effects of cultural additives and is naturally filled with thanksgiving for all that God has done in Christ to make us free from sin and death. It's important that we know the no's for our spiritual life, for the Christian faith, so that we may be children of light and not remain in darkness. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, when we examine our lives, we may see areas of darkness. We know that the Apostle Paul's list of no-nos is not all-inclusive. He was writing to one time in history, and those were the issues that were going on for the church in Ephesus. But Lord, we could make our own list, both collectively for our community, for our congregation, but also individually for each of us. We know that there are some things on that no list that we may still be doing or adhering to. And Lord, we just pray for insight and wisdom, that you may shine your light upon those areas of darkness in our lives, in our communities, that we may deal with that. And shutting the light on it, that we may stop doing the things that we shouldn't be doing and to start doing the things that we should be doing, if there's a void there that needs to be filled. And Lord, we just pray that we may be children of light, that we may come out of the darkness. Lord, we are especially mindful as we've just passed the equinox that the days are getting longer and longer. And Lord, we just thank you for that, the bright sunlight that we have physically in our lives. But we also thank you for the sunlight through Jesus Christ that we have in our spiritual lives. We just pray, oh God, that that may guide us, especially in these final days of Lent, that as we draw closer to the cross, that we may be truly faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. We may be children of his light. We ask this in his name. Amen. Closing hymn this morning is Heavenly Sunlight, number 375. Transformed us from children of darkness to sons and daughters of the light, from doubters to believers, from alienation to reconciliation. Leave now to celebrate God's transforming power. Amen.